Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a CA original.
Pouncer, the Palm Squad. Pre- and post-game parties on Beale Street. It's all part of the Memphis Tigers basketball game day experience. This is the Tiger Basketball Podcast.
What's happening, Tiger Basketball fans? We are back for another edition of the Tiger Basketball Podcast. I'm Mark Giannato, Commercial Appeal sports columnist. I'm joined, as always, by Jason Munns, our Tiger Basketball beat writer. We are coming to you on the heels of the end of the regular season. The Tigers beat SMU since we last joined you at home, on the road, and then lost a exhilarating, thrilling, exciting game against Houston to close out the regular season, 67-65. On a Jamal Shedd buzzer beater to close the regular season 23-8, and I believe 13-5 in conference play. They are the number two seed in the AAC tournament. They will play Friday against the winner of the UCF-SMU game. And we are less than a week from Selection Sunday, where we expect, at least right now, Memphis to hear its name called for the second year in a row. So obviously a lot to get to. This is like the best time of the year for college basketball these next few weeks, March Madness. We're going to break it all down. We're going to break down the Houston game, get you ready for the AAC tournament, talk about sort of the scenarios at play this week. Look ahead to what should be a very fun week of Memphis basketball, coming off of a fantastic scene at FedEx Forum Sunday against Houston. Munns, I'm curious, as you're sitting there courtside, obviously the atmosphere was as good as it could be. The game was very compelling. What were you feeling? Or I guess, what did you get the sense was the feeling as that game ended the way it did with the buzzer beater? Houston ultimately wins. Did you sense anything? Did you learn anything about this Memphis team from that experience? And what was sort of your sense of what the emotions were having that end the way it did?
Before we get to that, do you remember what I told you, what I said to you in the moment? Like, I think there was maybe, 28 seconds left or thereabouts, and Memphis had just caused that turnover to get the ball with 28 seconds left. You remember what I told you?
What's that?
Well, you were asking me like what I was feeling in the moment as the game was coming to a close.
Yeah.
And I told you what this game needs is overtime, right?
Oh yeah.
And that's where I thought we were going. Like that, mm-hmm. that's even before Kendrick made his shot, that is what I thought was going to end up happening with that game. Now, beyond that, who knew? All bets were off in my mind. But then he made the shot, or he made the layup, and my goodness, like, he carved through that Houston defense, as they say, like a warm knife through butter. You remember that? Like, he made that Houston defense on that play and a few others, honestly. He hit a three from the logo, practically. I think his last three, it was like spot up straight, straight.
It tied the game at 63.
Yeah, the dead ahead. I mean, like, he was deep, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, he was rising to the occasion, putting the team on his back, all that stuff. Anyway, he hits that runner where he just blew by everybody and tied the game up. And then I immediately thought, too much time. Way too much time. Way too much
time. And apparently so did Kelvin Sampson and Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that's just the way it is. Now, not that I thought Jamal Shedd or anybody else was actually going to hit the shot, but I thought the odds certainly increased tremendously. And not that I'm saying for a second that I think Memphis should have handled it differently or Kendrick Davis should have handled it differently. Like, you see an opening or you see a crease or you see an opportunity, you take it. And that's exactly what Kendrick Davis did. And, you know, he gave him a chance. But it was too much time. And
what I thought was interesting about that game is I think you saw why this team can win the AAC tournament, can go on a run in the NCAA tournament. And I also think you saw why they might not be able to, and why they could very easily lose like an 8-9 game in the first round. And that, you know, they've got these two players in Kedrick Davis and DeAndre Williams who are going to give you a chance in any game you play. And, you know, DeAndre didn't play particularly well yesterday against Houston. Kendrick played pretty well, got to the line, really kept him in it, getting to the line in the first half. And, you know, if they can get two or three guys to chip in, you know, in the Houston game, it felt like Chandler Lawson stepped up big time, hit a couple big threes, and Malcolm Dandridge had his best game since coming back from injury, played really well. And it played extended minutes for the first time since coming back from injury. But they needed like one more guy, especially with DeAndre held in check. And you saw like Houston down the stretch, ultimately, like Memphis really struggled to score in the half court against Houston. And Houston mixed in zone, which is something they don't normally do. And both Kelvin and Penny agree. Like Kelvin said to reporters after the game, he thought going to zone late was the key to them winning the game. Because when Houston went on that run to regain the lead, as Penny pointed out to me, it was the only time all game Memphis went five straight possessions without a field goal, without points. And it coincided with Houston going to that zone. And so you saw there though, like, you know, ultimately, you know, down the stretch of games, if you can clog up Kendrick in the lane and keep him off the free throw line, you know, and you can get DeAndre Williams in foul trouble like Houston did last night, and it kind of made him a little more tentative, I think, than he would have been.
Yep.
You know, there's not a lot of other options offensively. But I think you also saw from Memphis, like the way they mix in their pressure, the traps, like that got them back in the game. You know, against Houston, that in a game where they shot 36% from the field and Houston shot 45%, they were in a position to send it to overtime. I think largely because they were able to generate turnovers and generate some fast break points, junk it up, if you will, with their trap and pressure defense. And as Kelvin Sampson pointed out at the game, like when you get to NCAA tournament, like teams aren't going to know Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams like Houston does. Teams aren't going to know Penny's press and Penny's trap the way the AAC teams are used to it now.
Yeah, they may know it.
And it could be a real advantage for them.
They may know it, but there is a whole different it's a whole different thing knowing it and then like going
against it on the court, you know?
Yeah.
You can't and so, you know, I think you saw both sides of the coin of like, here's why, you know, that Houston game encompassed to me. Here's why they very well could, you know, if things break right, I think they could make it to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. I also think, you know, they could lose an 8-9 game. You know, I think they could lose, you know, they could lose to UCF in the quarterfinals of the AAC tournament. They've played two close games against UCF, lost 1-1-1. So, you know, now I do think, I mean, correct me if you think I'm wrong here, I think they're in. I think no matter what, the only thing that would make me a little nervous is if they lost to SMU in the quarterfinals, because SMU's so bad. But I think even if they lose to UCF in the quarterfinals, the AAC tournament, it would affect their seed, but I still think they'd get in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm on the same boat as you are. They, you know, if that's how it plays out, you're a 23 win team that finished second in the American. Listen, you don't go into Houston and play that team the way you did, the number one team in the country on its home floor, and that not count for something. You don't take the same number one team in the country to the wire, to the brink, when your second best player had, I mean, I don't even know if we'd call it an off night. He had 8 points and like 3 rebounds or something. Like he was
held in check.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, for sure. And like the fact that they still were going toe to toe, blow for blow with the number one team in the country and came, you know, within an eyelash of beating them, even when they, you know, again, their second best player didn't have anywhere close to his best game. Kendrick was largely, I mean, he made up for it by getting to the free throw line, but like, if you take that part out of it, he was, you know, pretty inefficient, from an offensive standpoint. But that's kind of, you know, I mean, that's who he is. And you take that because he does give you a bunch of points. The point is, all that stuff has to count for something. The 23 wins, the eye test against the best team, you know, the best ranked team in the country, the number one team in the net, you know, all these metrics. You take that and you say, yes, even if they lost to UCF, which if that happens would be a quad two loss, they're still in. I mean, I don't think that. Yeah, I mean, I think they've done enough to be in.
Well, and I ultimately don't think we're even gonna like have this conversation's gonna be moot. I think, like, I don't expect them to lose to UCF. I think the way you lose to UCF is if like motivation's a problem, if you're not taking them seriously. And I just think back to last year. Do you remember like a Selection Sunday? How like Memphis got in the tournament for the first time in 7 years, and like, they were like depressed over losing the AAC tournament championship game. Like, they couldn't even enjoy Penny and the players. They couldn't even enjoy getting into the tournament because they like really wanted to win the, I remember being surprised, caught off guard by that, I guess is probably the best way to say it. Like, cause ultimately, like, you know, I thought making the tournament would supersede whatever disappointment there was in falling short against Houston in the AAC tournament championship game. But you could tell that meant a lot to Penny. And I think it's going to mean a lot to the players to try, especially the way the bracket sets up, where you play UCF in the quarterfinals. Then if the seeding work, if it goes, the highest seeds win ultimately, and you won't know it until after your game anyways, cause you're playing before them. But like, you have a chance to play Tulane in the semis, a team that swept you this year. I feel like there'll be plenty of motivation for that. Mm-hmm. And then potentially you get Houston in the finals, the other team that swept you. And, you know, Kendrick Davis made it clear after that game yesterday, you know, he wants a rematch. He wants another shot at Houston.
Oh, I mean, like, he is, his sound bites are going to be missed, going to be sorely missed. Like, when he stepped up to that podium and said, "They don't scare me." I mean, I think his exact words were, "They don't fear me," but I think he meant to say, "They don't scare me." And he said, "Their guards aren't great. We don't look at them as the number one team in the country." I know that sort of like, riled up some Houston fans, cause they had plenty to say about it on social media, but no, Kendrick Davis. And I don't think he's alone. Like, I think that team is very, very hungry to see them again. And, you know, if I were betting on it, I think they will see him again. Now, you know, who the heck knows exact, cause it'll be the third game in in 3 days. And honestly, you know, anybody trying to predict, the outcome this far out, you know, of something like that, it's just tough. So who knows how it goes, but I do think they'll see him again, because as you pointed out, they're going to be very, I think they should be very motivated to get another shot at Tulane. And even if it wasn't Tulane that they were you know, playing for a shot at against possibly UCF, I think there's still like some, you know, simmering stuff, some simmering vibes a little bit beneath the surface between UCF and Memphis. I know for a fact, Kendrick Davis has not forgotten what CJ Kelly said after Memphis lost in double overtime in Orlando back in January. He still remembers the "we had to pack him up" comment that CJ Kelly made. He's still thinking about it. So I think they're going to be plenty motivated one way or the other. If they get, whether they get UCF in the first round, whether they get the quarterfinals, whether they get Tulane in the semifinals or Houston in the finals, I think they're going to be plenty motivated. Even before we get there, what do you think? If you were to predict the conference, we're going to get the conference awards are going to be announced before we even get to the games. So, what do you think now that we've gone through the regular season? What do you think?
We don't vote on it. The coaches vote on it. Yes. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think Kendrick Davis is going to get player of the year again. It's between him and Marcus Sasser. And my gut tells me like Kelvin Sampson will get coach of the year.
Me too.
As opposed to Sasser getting player of the year. Yep. But maybe they get both. Because there's no clear-cut coach of the year this year. I think Penny's got a decent argument to make. He could be coach of the year. It looked like Ron Hunter at Tulane could get it. But the way they ended the year might change that potentially. Yeah. But I think he could get it too under the the improvement section, if you will. But I think
Aaron McKee, was making a case early at the very least.
I expect it'll be, Kendrick and DeAndre will both be first team all AAC. And then I don't know if anyone else on the roster will get any sort of recognition.
Who else makes up the first team all AAC? That to me is
Sasser,
fascinating.
Sasser, Kendrick, DeAndre,
Jalen Cook,
maybe,
or Jalen Forbes.
Yeah, maybe one of the Tulane guys.
They did finish third, so
yeah.
Let's
see here. Who else?
Landers was the leading scorer for Cincinnati.
It's wild. Both him and Tyler Harris are going to get all AAC recognition of some kind. I think.
You know what else is wild? Eastern Michigan is not even, they didn't even make the MAC tournament.
Maybe the Khalif Battle kid at Temple potentially.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe Taylor Hendricks potentially. Maybe, I don't know. They kind of ended the year poorly.
Yeah, they trailed off.
Yeah. So that would be.
No,
that would
I think
be what I in, think in, right there. Those are your candidates for first I team, mean, and then one of the, Jalen Cook and Jalen Forbes, one of them will get it, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe Forbes.
I just think that like it's when you're talking about player of the year. If the media had a vote, which we don't, again, as you said, the coaches vote on it. But, there are certainly cases to be made for both Marcus Sasser and Kendrick Davis. But the way I tend to look at these like MVP, whatever, player of the year races are, if you take, if you take one off their team, then. Who is more affected, which team is more affected. And so, I don't know. I think if you take Kendrick Davis off Memphis, then there's going to be a pretty significant drop off. Whereas I think you take Marcus Sasser away from Houston and they're still really, really, really good. And not to mention just the stats. Kendrick has put up some really, really good numbers this season and better than Marcus Sasser. But best player on the best team, that's Marcus Sasser. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a fun run, I think, here, over the next few weeks. with this team. All right, last thing for you here, Munz, as we go into the postseason. Kendrick mentioned yesterday after the game, you know, most teams around this time of year, they are what they are, but he feels like this team can, you know, has another level to reach. He cited Malcolm and Alo coming back healthier now, things of that nature. We don't know about the status of Keontae Kennedy. Penny mentioned yesterday he's got a doctor's appointment. We're recording this Monday. He's got a doctor's appointment tomorrow, March 7th, that will probably determine whether there's any chance of him returning this year. Penny indicated basically if he still has to keep the pins in his hand from the surgery he had on his broken hand, probably not coming back this year. But if the doctor says it's healed enough to take the pins out, that could open the door to a return at some point, potentially. Sounded like more wishful thinking than anything else. But that's that. But where do you see this team? If this team has another level to go, what's it going to look like? What is that? What does that mean in your mind when Kendrick says that they can still get better?
Well, I mean, I think that the way that looks is, you know, fewer nervous moments. I mean, like, even when they went to SMU last week, like, you know, they played well, they won by 19, but it was choppy, you know, like things just seem to always there tend to be at least a couple of stretches, you know, even minor stretches, as minor as they may be, still a couple of stretches where it's just a little bit choppy. And I mean, obviously no team is perfect. Nobody's perfect, right? Like we all know that it's sort of unrealistic to expect that everything is going to click every single second of every single game. But, you know, if you get the same Malcolm Dandridge that you got yesterday, and man, he was playing, there were stretches of that game where he was playing like his hair was on fire. And that is what he's capable of. I mean, even though his numbers weren't like eye popping, he had what, 9 points, 8 rebounds or something like that, 9 and 7. You know, but he was diving for loose balls and he was hustling down the floor. I remember one play in particular where he saved the ball from going out of bounds by diving, you know, like onto the baseline, and then was the first player back down to the other end of the court somehow. I don't know how that happened. The first player on his team back down to the other end of the court. So if you get him, you know, playing that way every time on the floor, those weren't the first two threes that Chandler Lawson has hit this year. He's made a few others. I think he's like 10 for 20 or maybe not 10. I think he's like 5 for 10, but still he's not incapable of giving you more than 6 points a game and 8 rebounds a game. Like he can give you more. Alex Lomax is getting healthier, as you said, Kendrick pointed out. Malcolm obviously is getting healthier. We've seen in these last 2 or 3 weeks that Damarie Franklin, yesterday not so much, but he is coming on, right? He scored 15 points against SMU. If Jonathan Lawson is one who is really starting to find his footing. And so if Memphis is to take a step forward and level up, then I think it's going to be a lot less, you know, things are going to be a lot less choppy, and they're going to, you know, they're going to have a lot, there's going to be a lot more minutes in games where they're just imposing their will on their opponents. You know, and I think if all goes right, you know, and if it all plays out the way Kendrick, you know, kind of laid out that they are getting better and they do have a chance to take a step up, well, then I think there's nobody who would be surprised if they can get to the Sweet 16, if they can get to the second weekend. Yeah, that's what I think.
All right. So sitting here today, as we wrap things up, when we do the podcast early next week, what are we talking about? Is this an AAC tournament champion for the first time playing as an 8 seed? Is this a AAC tournament runner up for the second year in a row as a 9 or a 10 seed? Is this a team that lost earlier than expected in the AAC tournament? What's your prediction for the next week?
All right. So this is not me saying that I don't think Memphis can or will win the AAC tournament, but I think the odds are against them to win the AAC tournament. So I'll say, but barely. So that's what side I'll land on. I'll say they come close. I'll say they get to the championship game and lose. But I think that that gets them to an 8 seed. Now, I know that's not much consolation. Like, you're still in the 8-9, you know, area, and that's not great. But I'm with you. I think that they needed to beat Houston twice, much less not beating them at all, in order to get past an 8 seed. But I do think that, you know, if they finish the regular season and conference tournament 25-9, I think that's going to be good enough to get them an 8 seed. And so that's going to be my prediction. That's where I'll be.
Yeah. I think they're going to get to the championship game again. I think it's going to be a lot like last year. Get to the championship game. I think that Houston team's really good.
See, I could argue it both ways, though. Like, you know, we last year.
You can make the argument Memphis didn't play particularly well because they only shot 36%. I don't think Houston played particularly well yesterday either. Like, they got nothing from Jarace Walker, nothing from Juwan Roberts. I guess they got 10-7 from Walker, but it felt like he was involved in every negative play for them. Now, they did get good, really good performances from Sasser, Shedd, and Tremont Mark. I mean, that's really how they won that game, those three guys.
Well, and what production Juwan Roberts didn't give you, Terrence Arsenault and Emmanuel Sharpe, you know, they hit enough shots, those two, to
Arsenault only hit one shot. He only played two minutes, but Sharp gave you some good. I mean, there was only 7 guys who played more than 2 minutes for Houston.
I could argue it both ways. We saw last year, we saw it play out right in front of us. Memphis lost to SMU twice in the regular season, beat them in the tournament. They beat Houston twice in the regular season, lost to them in the tournament. If they have to face Tulane, they lost to them twice. I think they win. They have to play Houston on Sunday. They lost to them twice.
It would be pretty satisfying if that's how they do it. Like, if they go beat UCF, then go beat Tulane, and then go beat Houston, that'd be a really satisfying way to go win in a conference tournament. I will say that.
Yep, and you're 26-8 at that point with a win over the number one team in the net. I mean, I'm not as convinced that it is completely and totally out of the question that they get to a 7. But
I just think we've seen historically, because the AAC tournament championship game is so late, like, they're not, I just don't think, if they can avoid it, they don't like having to make adjustments to the bracket at the last minute like that. They've said that in the past. I think being, you know, it's a trade-off if you're the AAC. You play the last championship game in that CBS slot right before the selection show. It gives you a bigger audience, but playing it that close to the selection show, like, I just don't think they're going to change around the bracket in any drastic way based off of that one game. If you really look at it, the only thing that can move Memphis up at this point, it feels like, from a seeding perspective, is a win over Houston.
Yeah, and they probably need some other results around the country to also fall a certain way, I would think, if they were going to get to a 7. But, like, I don't know. I wonder if the committee wakes up on Sunday morning and it's Memphis versus Houston, do they not have some sort of, you know, would it not just be as simple as saying, okay, if Memphis wins, this is where they're going to be. If Memphis loses, this is where they're going to be. Like, it doesn't feel like.
Then there's, like, the collateral of, okay, if Memphis is there, now we got to move this team elsewhere. And then, I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? It's the committee. You know, they could be thinking about this totally different differently than the bracketologists. Maybe right now they're the committee views Memphis as like an 8 seed, not a 9 seed. And like
entirely possible. Up,
you know, who knows? I do think when you look at this resume, it's a strong it's as strong a resume as Memphis has had in like a decade. It's been a fun run, and hopefully there's more fun in store over the next few weeks. We will have tons of coverage for you over at commercialappeal.com. Jason and I will be in Fort Worth. We'll follow the team through the NCAA tournament, wherever they land. We'll have tons of coverage from Fort Worth on Selection Sunday. Anything you could ever want Tiger basketball-wise, you can get it over at commercialappeal.com. So make sure you are checking it out. Till next week, I was Mark. That was Jason. Hopefully, next time we talk, we'll be talking about Memphis's NCAA tournament opponent. I got a good feeling we will be.
The Tiger Basketball Podcast is a production of the Commercial Appeal.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.